In our exercise of late, looking at the mysteries of God, just think, if you would, like a historian, here we are standing in right now at this spot in the middle of history. All of history has gone by us, and the proof of it is, all you got to do is look out the window. You have lived through some of the history, depending on your age, and you have all kinds of records and writings and everything about all of yesterday. So there's no question of history. The pyramids are there and all of that. So you don't have a question. You're living in history. We just live in right around it. We have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the winter, summer, spring, and it goes. And what we're part of, the rest of it's coming. We're just at a given spot. We're part of history. History is being outworked. Most people don't think of history. They might think of retirement or something, and they work in retirement, but they just aren't really thinking much about history. So here we are looking, and we looked at the Old Testament history, all pointing into the future. And we looked at the mysteries, that which was not known, which could not be known, and is only able to be known if God gives the information. And God has. So as we looked at that, we're to be 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, 1 and 2, we're to be good stewards of the mysteries of God. And we're to be found faithful stewards. So it isn't something we're something to know about. It's something we are. A steward is responsible. The steward is responsible to manage the household arrangements where they are stewards. Christ is the head. He's the centerpiece. We're the body. Our responsibility, your head counts on your body to be responsive and have unity, body, head, body. We're stewards. We ought to be, no, we don't know about it. We don't want to know about mysteries. We are the mysteries. We are the mystery. It's an experience. It's part of our life. That's what we are. We belong to this thing. So we aren't just trying to get information about mysteries. And you can collect information about all of things, but you can't be part of it. You can collect information about George Washington, and you can do that, but you can't know. You can't know that information because it's past. You're a steward, the believer is, of the mysteries of God, and you are responsible to house God in your heart, in the believer's heart, is outworking history. He's outworking mysteries in a day, as we did all of these things, as in a time and a day when the people just don't catch it, actually. So let's look at it. So now, in the light of it, is the light of the Old Testament and their unbelief. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah's ministry, remember, is to go, and Isaiah is going to be speaking to the northern, southern tribes, 10, all 12, all the tribes. And Isaiah is going to see. Isaiah is going to see in the outworking of all of this, the 10 tribes in the north, the Assyrian captivity, And then we're going to go down, if we can, to the two tribes in the south, the Babylonian captivity. They're very real, and they really happened in an awesome way. And therefore, Isaiah is told the mood and movement of history as he does his ministry. So, as you would know, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And Isaiah just said, I'll go. Verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not, you won't understand. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. You bring in your wonderful ministry, Isaiah, you bring your ministry home to their heart, and it's only what you're going to find as it gets home to their heart. Their heart is going to get harder. I'm going to expose them. I'm going to push it just like anyone. You don't nag me, and you keep saying the same thing over and over to drive it home. And God said, I'm going to drive it home. I'm going to, like I hardened Pharaoh's heart, I'm going to take Israel, and I'm going to give him another prophet, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, etc. Now, having said that, what is it going to be like? It's going to be like their heart's going to get very hard. And verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long is this going to be like this? Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. In other words, it's just going to end. Like in Jeremiah, you're going to end and you're going to have nothing. 40 years of your ministry and you're going to have nothing. 40 years, Jeremiah's ministry, basically, nothing. I'm going to send you forth. I'm warning. I told the people, their heart is hard. They don't see. They don't want to understand as a nation, as a people. So I'm going to drive home the point. Now, having said that, and then as you know, when you go to the New Testament, Matthew 13, et cetera, all of Isaiah, what we just read, is quoted. It's quoted. Matthew, Isaiah, Matthew, Acts, et cetera. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, we know what? God's wonderful, wonderful purpose for Israel is to be a nation among nations. When did the nations start? Genesis 11. God scattered them, and God scattered them. They were one nation, one language, one people, and God scattered them, Genesis chapter 10, to all the nations. So what do we need now? A witness, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. Israel was to be a nation to show the nations that God is a wonderful Savior, and you need to know him and honor him. That's what Israel's assignment was. Deuteronomy chapter 4. They didn't do good. They failed in that. And that failure still exists. Now, so they had an assignment. They didn't do good, didn't do well in it. And therefore, in the light of Deuteronomy, go over, if I can, chapter 28. And I'm just reminding myself, Deuteronomy and chapter 28. And picking up, if I can. And in 28, remember the cursing, big 28:15, big long list. God said, you're going to be sorry if you don't be blessed, you're going to be cursed. So, Deuteronomy chapter 28, going directly in the light of the context with time and all that. If I can, verse 37. And thou shalt be called, oh, I'll have to read verse 36 a little bit. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there thou shalt serve other gods, wood and snow, all the captivities. Thou shalt become, verse 37, an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. You're never going to find a place. They aren't going to be anti-Semitic or something else. I'm not going to let it happen. Wherever you go, that's your point. What? Why? You're mine. See that over in Numbers. And remind yourself, chapter 23, and Balaam and Balak. And in Numbers chapter 23, picking up, please, going directly, if I can, to verse 8. 23:8. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? Verse 9. 4. From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. They'll never be counted among the nations. They do not belong to the nations. They belong to me. I'll never let them, and no one's ever do it. No one's ever, all these centuries have gone by. Hasn't happened, no. They're not going to, UN, et cetera, no. No, I'm not going to let anyone have you because you're mine. And no one can have you, ever. Now, so therefore, having that little bit in mind, Israel in its place of unbelief as it goes down the court. So as we're looking at it, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. And you back over, why not? Over to Romans and put it together again and again. Romans in chapter 11, picking up if I may. And you'll remember, 9, 10, and 11 deal with Israel. Romans 9, 10, 11 deal with the nation of Israel. And chapter 11, verse 11, again, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, Israel's unbelief, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for reason to provoke them to jealousy. I'm going to go and work with the Gentiles to awaken Israel. Israel is to be the nation in the kingdom to all the nations, not the Gentiles. Israel is going to be the example to the Gentiles in the kingdom. Now, so, but here, verse 11, what are you going to do, God? I'm going to let Israel go down the bottom. They're going to have and get clobbered and bought, and I'm going to go and put them aside and raise up the Gentiles. That's how we get in. Verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, in other words, everyone's benefiting because of Israel being put on the shelf. Anti-Semitism is resulted in because of Israel's unbelief. And Israel's unbelief and being going through century after century of, as it does, God is reaching the Gentiles now and Jews. Verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? All of the section, as you know, then you'd slide over as you slide down the information. Verse 25. For I would brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, which is what we're looking at in this case, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Not all Jews. Some Jews can get saved. Many won't, but some Jews can get saved if they wish. And I'm going to finish the times of the Gentiles. I have given a time schedule. Where did you give the time schedule for the Gentiles? Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Zechariah chapter 1. I gave him. The Gentiles have their day, but the day's going to end now. And what's the mystery? The mystery is that Israel, as we shared last time, has had no, in their unbelief and in their darkened heart, in their blindness, they had no idea of the crucifixion of Christ in its wonderfulness. And they had no idea that they would crucify him. That was not even in their little head. It did happen.
Yeah,
it did. They never would believe it. In fact, they didn't believe it, as you'll see in a minute. Hang on. So now, here we are looking in the book of Romans, as we just did. So here's the law. God took the law to Calvary's cross and paid the price. The law said the wages of sin is death. Christ died on the cross for us. Now, you're here in chapter 10 of Romans, remember, the law was satisfied on Calvary's cross, and God, in his wonderful grace, went, and what did he do on the cross? To make this, so you can see all of it coming together, I hope. Chapter 10, verse 3. Chapter 10, 4. They being ignorant, the Jews, of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Reason for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. But God in Christ answered the law, and helped them understand the law if they would believe, but they didn't believe. So therefore, God, what are you doing? God, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Over to Ephesians 3 in your mind. Over to Ephesians 3 again. And in verse 2. 3:2, Ephesians, the law, Christ died. He's the end of the law for righteousness. And now what does he do? He shows his grace, not his wrath. Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation, the stewardship of the grace of God, there's the dispensation of law, but now there's the dispensation, the stewardship of grace. Christ entered the law, answered the law. Now the stewardship, dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you would. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before a few words, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, each of them prophets. Now here comes Paul, Peter, James, and John, and Paul is chosen to bring what home? To drive home the point that God is demonstrating his grace. It's a very special time, and Paul will say it. Paul says, "You're Peter. You go to the Jews, and I go to the Gentiles." So Paul is going to go to the Gentiles, and he's going to give them an understanding of this truth. That's no one ever dreamed that God would do this, and that God's doing it because of the unbelief and the blindness of Israel. And where they should be seeing, they don't. Where they should be understanding, they don't. What they should be hearing, they don't want to hear. Therefore, God is showing his grace. And that is Paul's ministry, as you know. Now, so sliding it down to see it, down to verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This dispensation of grace was never known, never known. God is now making it known in a most wonderful way because of the unbelief. And thus, that which was a mystery is no longer a mystery. God is going to show his grace, which he had in mind in the first place. He already had it in mind. Already was there. Hang on to that. We're going to pick that up in a minute, I think. So therefore, here's the grace. Here's this grace. And it's a mystery, and we're seeking not to know about it. We're trying to get a handle on it because the mystery involves Christ, who you, if you received him as your Savior, the mystery, you've received the mystery. You want to carry the mystery. You are stewards of the mystery. You carry the mystery wherever you go. You're his body wherever you go. That's a mystery that was never known, never heard of. But God in his grace, he knew all of these things. He has them all. They just have to be worked out inch by inch in the process of time. So now, the light of that. So we want to know and understand. We need to go and possess. We are stewards. We need to be in possession of the truth. I don't need to know about the truth. I need to be in the middle of the truth. I am, you are, we are to be custodians, stewards of the truth of God, telling about the God of truth in our life. Our life shares what? The truth of God. God died on the cross for a sin. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I testify and bear witness that he died for me. He died in his wonderful saving grace, and he became my righteousness, our righteousness in Christ. So now, having said that, our stewardship, and we are to go and exercise that stewardship in a wonderful way. Now, in order to see that, over to Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 4. And you will note, and chapter 4, may I pick up, please? Watch it come together. Verse 1. Let us therefore fear. Look, you'll see the we did the book of Hebrews. Remember now, chapter 3, you're sliding down chapter 3, and you come down, if I can, in verse 12, 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what, dear friends? Unbelief. That don't you do what they did in departing from the living God. Sliding down, verse 18. To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? The unbelievers were, God didn't do it. He let them be in their unbelief. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 19, 3:19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They missed the whole thing. They missed it. They were blind, didn't see it. So for chapter 4, let us therefore, in the light of that understanding, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, H-I-S, not our rest, not your rest or mine, into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. It didn't do any good, Isaiah. Not God, we already know that. Isaiah was told that before he ever went. He said, they aren't going to listen to you. That doesn't mean not, people did listen, but the nation isn't going to listen. They aren't going to listen to you. Therefore, they did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, faith in them that heard it. And so, therefore, you got to believe God. What's the whole point? God said something, he wants you to believe it and trust him. And that's what they didn't do. And therefore, and you will notice it says, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, the gospel. Now, hold your finger there. Well, yeah. If you can do that part. Over to Romans and chapter 10. Chapter 10. Now you have to, I could do another way. Romans chapter 10, verse 6, etc. We would have to go to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30. You're not there, I know it. You only have so many fingers. Deuteronomy and chapter 30. God's word was right in front of them. They didn't need to go to, they didn't need to go up to the sky to find it. They didn't need to have to go down to the ocean to find it. They didn't have to go anywhere. It was right in front of them. God's word, by way of Moses, etc., the book of Deuteronomy, it's right in front of you. All you need to do is believe it. That's what you need to do. And you know where it says, God said, it tells them, chapter 30, verse 19, I tell you, one of the, don't choose the blessing, not the cursing. Choose life, not death. I tell you that because you have to make a choice. I'm telling you the choice to make. Here's the three glasses. One of them got poison. I'm telling you which is the one to drink. I'm telling you which one to drink. Choose life. Choose blessing. Choose God. Chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. Now, that's the background. Slide over Romans chapter 10, the gospel. Did they know the good news in the Old Testament? Sure they did. Abraham believed God and what? It was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham got saved. Adam got saved, etc. They got saved. Sure they did. Well, they did. But the general nation didn't believe it. But the gospel was there. But they didn't mix it. They didn't believe. And that here's, and here's Romans in chapter 10 for us. And you know it, if I can, sliding, read verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh in this wise, not to say in thine heart, who shall send up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. You don't have to go hunt for God. You don't have to go, verse 7, or shall thou ascend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh, near, even in thy mouth, in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You're hearing it. Here's Jeremiah standing there doing it over and over again. It wasn't that you didn't hear. You do hear it. How far away is it? It's in your ears. You just don't let it get to your heart. That's the trouble. So there's the gospel. Back over to Hebrews 4. And what was the problem? For unto us was the gospel preached, verse 2, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why not? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. They're all finished, what I did in a most wonderful way. I did that. And what are you looking for? Well, God, well, before I do that, slide over, if I hold your finger here this time, and go over to Isaiah and 28. Isaiah and 28. If I can. And you will note, Isaiah 28. Now, what did you do back then, God? What did you tell? How is it going to work out? Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. The precept, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, over and over the word, hear it again and again and again and again and again. Say it again and again and again. What are you doing? That's how you're going to get it, because it doesn't belong in the world, in your old nature. What you're hearing doesn't belong inside of your old nature. Your old nature hates it. So you've got to let it bang in till God gets it into the head and heart. Now, so therefore, for what he's going to do, for with stammering lips and another language will he speak to this people. And the Jewish people got scattered all over the world, the different nations, different languages that they never had. God said that's what's going to happen. Now, and verse 12. For to whom, he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. They didn't want to get. God has a wonderful rest. And that's what Hebrews 4, Isaiah 28, all the way back to Genesis. And you know, in 6 days, God created the heaven. He created the heavens and the earth. He did the whole thing. And in the process, in his creation, and when he chapter 1, he finished verse 31 on that, and that which he has made, he looked at it and said, that is very, not just good, not just good, it's very good. And then chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. And then on the seventh, that's the seventh day, Genesis chapter 2, the seventh day, he rested from all that he had done. And all that, and you put the rest of it together, I have set history in motion. The clock, I push the start button. The calendar starts. The clock starts. History starts. I already know history. I already have it. I have a wonderful plan to save. I'm going to Genesis 3:15. I'm going to have Adam and Eve get saved. And then I'm going to go to the cross and give Gentiles and Jews saved. I want to save everybody. I came to what? To God, to satisfy the righteousness of God and to give eternal life to everyone that would believe in a most wonderful way. Now, I have a plan. The plan has to be outworked in my awesome way. Israel, Nebuchadnezzar didn't, the world doesn't believe, but Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Israel was to believe. What were they to believe? God is outworking his wonderful plan in a wonderful way. And as he outworks his plan, as he outworks it, he has to outwork it, and you're part of it. You're part of the plans all the way down the road. Here's the plan every century, the plan. And here you are. You're in the plan. God has a plan. He isn't going to think of one. He has one. He's outworking one. Now, and Israel was to be the nation, a special prize privileged nation. But you know what? Israel didn't want to be. It wanted to be like the other nations. That's what it wanted to be. And thus it didn't enjoy the rest, the wonderful plan. God isn't doing something. God isn't sitting there thinking about something. What else could I do? We do that, but God doesn't do that. God already has the thought. You want God's will for your life, right? You want God's will for your life? And God already has it. God already has Sunday's Sunday already for you. You have to trust him in it. He isn't going to think of something, and you're going to do this and this and that and make it happen. You're going to do all those things, but you're going to find yourself on Sunday in the snowstorm, stuck in the church all day long because of the deep snow. See? No. No. It's already done. Do you understand that? It's finished. What are you telling us in Hebrews 4? Israel failed to enjoy the rest that I gave them. To be the nation. They missed it. And what they missed, I never stopped. I didn't. My rest didn't go to Israel. It goes to the end of the kingdom, to the new heavens and a new earth. So I want you to know, someone rest, someone please exercise the rest that I have in mind. Someone rest, I already did it. Someone turn to me and rest out in the outworking of my will. That's what I want. Now, so having said that, picking up please, again in verse 19, verse chapter 28, Isaiah, verse 13. The word of the Lord was upon them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. In other words, God kept up prophet after prophet and irritated them, and every time what they do, they got rid of the prophets. The prophets flunked out or they got after them. They didn't like them. They wanted to kill Jeremiah. They never could kill him, but they wanted to. Now, so now, having said that, keeping that in mind, back over to Hebrews and chapter 4 and see it maybe a little better. And if I can, Hebrews chapter 4, remember the rest. That's his rest we're talking about. And so we go to verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3, Hebrews. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished, from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day, that's what Genesis chapter 2, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And this, and verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, you can't miss it. I did it back then. I had it all done. All you had to do is say thank you and go with it. That's all you had to do. But there's just no one ever. People don't do it. People don't do that. So now, going a little further, so you see it again and again. Verse 3, verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they go to whom, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. But, verse 6, some will enter into the rest. There are believers in history that will honor me and enjoy my will for their life. They're going to do it. Not everyone's going to don't flunk out. There are people that are going to believe me and let me outwork my wonderful will in their little old lives. Now, so picking up that, If he can. Verse 7, I shall read it. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Remember, that's what you heard in chapter 3. Don't harden your heart. That's what they did. The more I told them about what they could have, the more they turned me off. They should have been listening. I was trying to get them. I wasn't nagging them. I was pestering them. I was trying to get them to wake up and do something that if they didn't do it, 10 more years will go by and you never did it. And the likelihood of you doing the 11th year is pretty low. So it's never going to happen. You know, it's like saying, I'm going to believe when it's time. Don't you count on it. I've been with people, so have you. I'm going to count it. Well, it doesn't do any good, does it? No. If you can't do it today, what makes you think you'll do it tomorrow? You have the same mind. What makes you think you're going to do it tomorrow if you can't do it today? Now, I'll do it. Now, therefore, chapter 4, verse 9, there remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. I'm just trying to tell you, here it is, we're standing with the towers. Verse 10, for he that is entered into your rest, my rest, no, his rest. It isn't, I don't have any rest. I don't even know how to do it. He that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his on the seventh day. He was done. And the believing heart isn't trying to work out this with the will of God in trying to works. No, it's the grace of God that was rejected, or they had the law. They could have disbelieved, and many did, like David, but most of them didn't. The law ended. Christ died on the cross and took and answered the law. And in their unbelief, God demonstrated his grace. And that's the mystery of the gospel, that God would fulfill his wonderful grace and make it possible for believers to be able to go and enjoy what history has left out of the picture, his wonderful rest. I'm going to give you time, he said. I'm going to give you space. No one does it. Oh, we're going to. Then you lose out. You lose out. Oh, no, I have friends. I have believing friends. I have bishops, cardinals, and everybody that are big, big shots. In the real Christians. No, I don't care what they are, whatever. You need to be a believer, and you need to be reading and recipe God's word. And God said, listen, when you got saved, God found a place, a home, and he's going to outwork his wonderful will in your life. And that's why Ephesians 2, you know it. Know it? Ephesians 2. Verse 10. Gotta look it up. Ephesians 2:10. We'll close with that. You got the idea? Let's see if it's still there. If it's gone, then we have a problem. But if it's still there, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Ephesians 2, and sliding down. Ephesians 2, verse 9, not by works, lest any man should boast. Nope, not by works. For reason we don't do work, because we are his workmanship, God's working. God is the creator. God is the savior. God is the one who has the plan. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. before anything ever was. My thoughts, I didn't do a thing for Jeanette. My thoughts to you are higher than the heavens. Higher than the heavens. Now, so I want you to know. Now you're going to say, you're going to work your wonderful will for our life. Now, God, and your thoughts towards us, Isaiah, Psalm 31, 39, and all of that. And God, your thoughts to us are more than the sand of the sea. Now, God, that are higher than the heavens. And God said, listen, yeah, I have thoughts that you could never think. All you can do is stay in my will and let me outwork them. As the sand of the sea, I'm looking to do. In your little mind, my little mind. Trying to figure it out. So what do you do? Thank you. Thank you.